Picking up where we left off, kind of. Here's a dumb birthday game from the very next day based on the last episode's game. This one is from May 10th, 1994, and I've titled it The Return of Nanco. That would be the Nancy Sales Company, which provided peeper key rings. And speaking of that, this, turns out, was one of the first shows that the peeper key ring was introduced, or at least talked about in detail. Don't forget to please support the silly by checking out your options to do so with the links in the description box. Our players: the excited Jeff in Alston, the big-voiced Rob from Milton, Bob in New Brighton, Pennsylvania, Brian from Bentley College, I'm on the phone from Parts Unknown, Mike Epstein producing and playing in studio, and the rather troubled Jack Hart in traffic. The birthdays: Bono, Donovan, and then a dead birthday. Okay, now this is how this works. So it was this person's birthday, but instead we were going to guess in what year did Fred Astaire die. And then we've got a bunch of events in history. In what year was the Golden Spike driven at Promontory, Utah to mark the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad? And I did not read that like a question. Let's try this next one. The first Mother's Day observance was held in what year? What year was J. Edgar Hoover named director of the FBI? Winston Churchill took over for Neville Chamberlain in what year? Did any of that sound okay? Okay, episode 235, The Return of Nanco, peeps its way to your ears in 3, 2, and 1.
Hi, good morning, Norm.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
I bet you are, and I bet you're really excited about this, aren't you?
Yes.
Show us the excitement that you feel in your soul.
I just gotta have that keychain.
Oh, that's right, too. Let me play that. The winner will get the keychain. That'll be easy to mail. Here's the keychain. This is the peeper's keychain, where you press the center of it, which is a little peeper, that little inch-long frog, and you hear the sound of peepers. I wonder who thought of that. Anyway, it was sent to us, a bunch of them were sent to us. We'll give some more away later in the week. The Nancy Sales Company, Chelsea, and the, hold on a minute, and the man who's the sales manager. I'm rattling papers in your ear again, but I tell you, it's turning me on, and I hope it's doing the same for you. Ed Boland. Yeah, Nancy Sales Company, 22 Willow Street, Chelsea. I would suspect if you called them, in case you don't win, you might be able to buy some from them. I'm not sure.
Do you have their number?
I do have a number, yes, sir. I'll give the number you think would be a good idea, eh?
I think so.
Okay, it's 617, of course, the area code.
Mm-hmm.
884-1700. Outside, that's 884-1700. Outside of Massachusetts, there's an 800 number, 1-800-626-2947. And you can have your own pin, your own key ring that goes.
I think it's great.
I think it is kind of funny, too.
It's cute.
Okay, we have Rob in Milton. Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, Rob is the guy with the big voice. Do you hear that? Mike?
He's got a great voice.
I say that every time he calls. It's great. It's an excellent voice. Yeah, if you could make your voice about an octave higher and mumble a little bit, I would really appreciate it, because you're showing me up something fierce.
Well, I'll do my best.
No, you couldn't talk poorly if you really tried. Okay, here's Bob, who's out in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area, anyway. Hi, Bob.
Hey, what's happening?
Well, it's not too much happening, babe.
All right.
Yeah, what do you say, babe? Now, you're not right in Pittsburgh, are you? You're nearby?
No, I'm in New Brighton. It's about 30 miles northwest of Pittsburgh.
Okay, be proud of that fact. Don't just say I'm in Pittsburgh. If you're in New Brighton, Pennsylvania, say, I'm proud of it. I'm in New Brighton, Pennsylvania, and I'm proud of it.
That's a nice town, but not too many people know where it is, though.
No, but if you plug it a little bit, we'll all know. We'll all have heard of it. Okay. We also have Brian from Bentley, who we just talked with a little while ago. He's one of the students there finishing up papers and getting ready for a final and all that kind of stuff, and just wants to clear his head and breathe some of the fresh, free air or something or other anyway. Anyway, Brian, thank you for hanging around and playing the game with us.
No problem, Bob.
No, Bob is the other guy.
Hi.
We do sound a lot alike. And nothing wrong with that.
Nope, not at all.
Okay. We have Tony Nesbitt is with us, too. That's nice. Oh, I gave her. That's Tony doing his own. He's got his own little ring there.
Greetings.
Well, I tell you what, hold on a minute. Let me get my ring, and you get yours, the ring with the papers. Okay, ready?
Yep.
Okay. Oh, this is just one. This is just
radio history being made all over again.
Sounds like your tape, Norm.
What's that?
I feel like I'm at the bog.
Oh, the bog, the actual tapes, too. Okay, these are the actual...
Now, hey, I haven't got an idea for you, Norm.
Yeah?
Why don't you bring one of the keychains down to the bog?
Yeah?
Lay it out there. Play it a little bit. See if any frogs come over to it.
You think these keychains are like mating calls?
That's very possible.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. Hold on a minute.
You could, and if there's ever a peeper problem, you could lead the peepers right out of town.
You mean like the...
It could be the Pied Peeper or something like that.
The Pied Peeper of Middleton. Okay, I think we've done enough with that whole thing. And we have, of course, we have Mike Epstein, who you just heard, who's our producer tonight, who'll be playing the game with us.
That's right.
And I'm glad that you're playing the game.
And so am I.
Because it's a fun thing. I mean,
sure is. It's a nice way to break up the morning.
Now, why did I have to force you into saying that?
You didn't force me at all. I volunteered this.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know who else we have here?
We have Jack Hyde.
We have Jack. That's exactly who we have. Mm-hmm.
Jack, you mentioned in your traffic report that they were doing light maintenance. I was just curious, was it light as in the electrical, product, or was it light as in heavy lifting light?
There were dusters and little dry mops.
Okay.
Just some light maintenance.
I just wanted to make sure.
Uh-huh. We were noticing something, though, Jack, Mike had commented on it, and I tend to agree with him, that you sounded a little down tonight.
Yes. He did.
Do you find that to be true?
Yes, I did that, especially at 3 o'clock when I listened to him. Jack trying to imitate someone, or is he?
Yeah.
Really,
what's the trouble with you, Jack?
Oh, just sometimes things don't always work out as they should.
Oh, you sound even worse now. I thought by the time you got on with us, you'd be, whoopee doo yay, and you sound really yuck.
Well, Norm, Tony, I think we're gonna have to get together, buy this guy a drink or three, and just help him. Sog out of his...
Yeah.
You know what it is, Norm. You broke the... Jack's had a streak going of having Bob on every Monday night and Tuesday morning, and you're on, and...
Sometimes things just don't work out.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, he'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll be feeling better by then. So, is there something that we can do to help you break out of this?
Oh, I'm sure by the time we get through with this, I'll just be jubilant.
Oh, I don't think so.
Maybe. Quickly, earlier, someone was talking about the First National supermarkets, and where I went to grammar school, across the street, there was one of these places, of course, it was Finest, across the thing. Do you know how many people came out of that grammar school spelling Finest, F-I-N-A-S-T?
No, that's true. No, because I worked there, and this was not even a supermarket. It was a corner little store where you waited on people. You put on your dirty apron and a little jacket and put the pencil behind your ear and stuff. And I'm going to help you, Miss Norris. How about some extra milk and bread? We're closed all day tomorrow, How about a fruitcake?
Did you have to use those that pole with the little grip at the end to get the paper towels off the 16th shelf or something?
Yeah, I don't know whether I dare go through that again. But that's true, We had two different kinds of those poles.
Whoa.
One was just a hook. It was a long post with a hook, and you'd reach up to get, usually cereal, you kept the box items on top, and you'd tap the bottom row of it.
Oh, I see.
If you know how to do it well, and it would come flipping down, if you were trying to impress one of the young ladies who was in the store, you'd turn your back to it as it came down and catch it right against your spine.
Ooh.
I would have loved to see that. It never worked for me. Usually the entire upper row.
So
I was
going
to ask you, did you ever have the entire thing just come crashing down on your head?
Yes, and my father, who was the manager of the store at the time, said, and here I am trying to impress whoever she was at the time. And she must have been something special because she went to Chelsea High School, as I did, you know, and nothing
a hot babe.
No, she was a hot babe. They were all hot babes at Chelsea High School. And my father would say, "Norman, for crying out loud, what are you doing?" And I would be so humiliated.
You'd be eating cornflakes for a month.
I just want to bury myself in the cornflakes. Anyway, that was the way that was. Oh, the other device,
yeah,
aside from the hook, was the one with the actual claws. That was the sissy stuff, because you just reached up and you could grab it with the claws. That was easy, and then bring it down. That was too easy. And so
No challenge in that at all?
There was no challenge, but there was with the hook.
Oh,
and but I lost the challenge.
Well, you could claw the item, bring it out from the shelf, then let go and drop it, and turn around and catch it.
I could have done that too. Yeah. You know what I should have done? I should have stayed there long after the store was closed and practiced my moves. There he is. See that man? See that kid there? That pimply faced skinny kid? It's 2:00 in the morning. He's still there practicing his moves with the hook and the cornflakes. And we had a lot of other cereals, too, they don't have today. H.O. Oats was a big thing. And they also had, I forget, anyway.
H.O. Oats, what were those scale models?
On May 10th, and we will guess their ages. Plus, we have a lot of events that happen on this date, and we will guess the year that they have.
And one dead guy.
And one dead guy, yeah. One dead guy. Who was born on this day? Oh, Bono Hewson. Let's start with you, Jeff. You know how old Bono is?
I would guess he's probably about my age. I'm 47.
What is that?
Sorry.
Was that a gas pain or
yeah,
what was that?
Kind of.
Okay, Rob, what do you think?
I'd say about 33.
He's doing it. He's doing it with that voice again. He's trying to humiliate me. Do you hear that voice?
I'd say about 33.
I'd say that's a conspiracy on his part. Conspiracy of one.
I think so, yeah. He's trying to say, I may not be a professional in the business right at this moment, even though you are, but I have a great voice and yours sucks. That's what he's saying to me. He's saying that to me. I know that.
But I play one on the phone.
Yeah, but that's right. I'm not an announcer, but I play one, yeah. Anyway, Bob, in the Pittsburgh area, what's the name of your town again?
New Brighton. I remember that.
I'm sorry, New Britain?
New Brighton.
Oh, New Brighton.
We're
in Old Brighton here. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's... Are we in Brighton or are we in Alston?
Alston.
We're actually in Alston, yeah. The zip code here is the Alston.
I think we're on the cusp.
I think one day, if Westinghouse is totally successful with this here WBZ place, we might be able to move to Brighton.
All right.
Where the rich people live. Okay, Bob, how old do you think Bono is?
I'll say 28.
28. Okay, and Brian?
I'm going to say 29.
And Tony?
34.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
33.
And the very lovely but depressed Jen?
37.
Okay, the answer, I was kind of hoping you'd win the first round, Jack. I thought that would really make you feel so good. You'd go, never mind this down in the dumps thing. I'm going to still think up here. I'm happy.
What's that to say, Jack?
Yeah, but however, you did win, Jack. And Tony did. Bono is 34 years old. Or as we young kids say, he's 34 years young. Donovan, you remember Donovan?
Sure.
Okay, born Donovan Leitch, or Leitch, L-E-I-T-C-H, in Glasgow, Scotland.
Leitch.
Is it Leitch?
Leitch,
yeah. Biggest hits, Sunshine Superman and Mellow Yellow, with Paul McCartney adding the whispering. I didn't know that was Paul McCartney on that record.
I didn't know about that.
How did the whispering go?
The whispering went to the... He was speaking in what is our language?
Chagra.
In Chagra.
Your own language. What's my language?
Yeah. But you could tell he had an English accent.
Oh, by all, yes, definitely.
Yeah, so you could tell he wasn't a native.
He had a little bit of a Cockney accent on his Chagra.
That's right.
It's funny you don't often hear a Chagra being spoken with an English accent.
No, it's a very rare thing, but it's so precious when you do hear it. It just makes you get goose pimply. Okay.
One of the romantic languages.
That's right. Donovan, how old is Donovan? Jack, we'll begin with you because you're so upbeat.
Uh-huh. He's got to be 49.
49.
Okay. Oh, that was a little mellow.
Yeah, that was better. You see, it kind of raised the last syllable. He's 49. That was good. Excellent. Let's do that Saturday in the show that same way.
Okay.
Now he's back down to his depressing ways. Mike, what do you think? How old is Donovan?
I think he's closer to, let's say, 57.
57. Okay. And Tony, what do you
think? Do you have any years there, dates on the music on the hits?
No, I don't. All I got here is...
60s, the late 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biggest hit, just mentions the hits, you know, Sunshine Superman and Mellow Yellow and all that.
Well, you got to figure 1967, that whole psychedelic year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I played some of his records when I got off the air with the All Night Jazz Show. I was playing that kind of music there for a while.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why I told you that, because that's a pretty dull story. But anyway, Tony, what do you think? How old is Donovan?
51.
Are you
51.
Okay. Truly, man. Are you okay, man? Okay.
I'm okay. Do you dig it?
I dig it, man.
It's groovy.
Cool, cool. It's hip. It's cool. It's today. It's 90s.
Like wow.
We both sound like 1935. I don't know how come you sound like 1935. That's really strange.
Why, aren't you hip?
That's right. Well, orit. Well, zoot suit. Well, orit. Hubba hubba. Oh, God, I think I'm getting gassy stomach.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, we used to say that a lot. Hubba,
yeah.
Hubba.
You used to say hubba hubba when you're checking out the gams.
The gams. The chicks' gams, man. Hey, chick, man, I got some loot, man. I got some bread.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, what do you say, hubba hubba?
Yeah, you were crazy back then.
Yeah, let's dig some sounds, man. You know what I'm saying? Hubba hubba. Brian, how old do you think Donovan is?
52.
52, says Brian.
My other end.
Okay, and Bob is out there in New Brighton?
I'm going to say 52.
Well, you sound even more depressed than Jack Hart. I'm going to say 52. I'm going to say it right up because if I put it off for 5 minutes, I may be dead. While I'm still alive, I'm saying 52. Okay, Rob, and out there in Austin, what do you think?
I'm going to say 51.
51. Do you realize that you and I and Mike Epstein and Tony were all in Alston?
I'm in Milton.
You're in Milton?
Yeah, Jeff is in Alston.
Oh, Jeff is in Alston. Rob is in Milton. Oh,
Rob wished he was in Alston.
I know, it's what I live for.
He's an Alston wannabe.
An Alston wannabe.
An Alston wannabe.
Hey, can you blame him?
I'd leave now.
Can you blame him? I don't know. This is something about the quaint shops with their thatched roofs here along the majestic Charles River.
Yeah.
And the sound of the Zumbamba echoing through the soft tropical nights. The average mean temperature in Alston, you know, is 71 year-round. This is a beautiful spot.
Soft tropic nights. I like that a lot.
I'm sorry, I clipped your microphone while I coughed into mine.
Oh, thanks. We're all in this together. That's fine.
That didn't make any sense at all. Okay, Jeff, how old are you? Jeff was actually in Austin, so he must be in the Bucks. How old do you think Donovan is?
Well, we'll go for an even 50.
An even 50. He didn't even dispute that, did he?
In the Bucks.
He's not one to brag, but he knows. He's at the pinnacle of his success.
He's kind of cool. Yeah, you don't have to. That's you don't right. have to brag.
He owns a small resort in the soft tropic nights.
That's right.
Selling colorful native crafts.
Anyway, Donovan is 48.
Oh,
no way.
I don't know. No way. I just saw what he got here. No way. Let me look. Let me check my second source. So, yeah, both sources say 48. So I'd say way is way. Okay. And that means that Jack Hart, Who said the 49 is the closest? Nobody said 47.
All right, Jack.
Well, yeah.
My gosh, I think we've done it. I think we've helped him out of his depression.
I think so. He's going...
The razor was also close to the wrist. If I don't win the next one...
Okay, we're going to do the dead one now.
Excellent.
We've referred to this as our dead man's category.
Okay.
Because okay. I kind of like to keep things on a bright note. No, this is Fred Astaire, one of the great treasures of the United States, who was born on this date, May 10th in 1899. What year did he die?
Ah.
And it's a silly category, but... What the heck? Bob, let's start with you up here in New Britain, Pennsylvania, New Brighton, right. Pennsylvania.
Ooh, I'm going to say 1973.
You're going to say 1973?
Right.
Okay. And Rob, what do you think?
1984.
Okay, Tony?
What did you say, 1899 was his birth?
He was born 1899, that is correct. He was born, as you know, Frederick Austerlitz in Omaha, Nebraska. He looks like he should have been born, like, in Boston or someplace cosmopolitan. Why Omaha, Nebraska? That doesn't...
That's where his mother was.
Oh, wait a minute, let me look. Yeah, that's what it says in the next sentence. His most frequent dance partner, of course, was Ginger Rogers, with whom he appeared in musicals of the 30s and 40s, including The Gay Divorcee and Top Hat. He appeared in The Towering Inferno in 1974, for which he won an Oscar, as he received an Oscar nomination.
Oh, there goes Rob to answer that.
What did you say? What is that you're saying, fella?
Is it Rob who thought he died in 73?
Oh, that's
somebody
right.
Just,
yeah.
No,
that's true. That was one of the most remarkable feats in Hollywood history. He made a movie a year after he was dead, and nobody even knew. That shows you how callous they are out in the big city there, out there. They don't care. He's dead? Well, that's too bad. Maybe I can give the part to somebody else, or maybe he can just dig himself out of the grave and do it. I'm sorry, that was a reenactment of a historical moment. Okay, Tony.
Well, since he was born in Omaha, I have some kind of mutual tie with that.
87.
Okay. 87? No.
Are you sticking with 87? Are you adjusting?
I know. I thought he died. No. It's 94 now, right?
Last I checked.
Yeah.
95.
This is 94, and you get an extra point for that, for knowing that.
89.
Are you sure?
Okay. What do you
know? If I was, I wouldn't have changed it.
What do you think, Mike?
I was going to say 89.
So you're going to say 89?
No.
You're not going
to
say 89.
I was going to.
Going to, but not. I
take
see.
My 87, will you? Yeah. Please.
It's not 84. I'm going to say it was... I'll split the difference, divide it by 3, and add 17. I'll say it was 86.
86.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff, what do you say?
78.
Jeff says 1978. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Is that okay if I don't turn my microphone off?
Oh, no,
when
please
I cough?
Do.
Thank you so much. I try to be gracious and still hip and smooth while
and
I cough.
You pulled it off like a professional.
Yeah. Okay. Jack, what do you think?
Oh, let's see. I know I saw him in some sort of a made-for-TV thing in the early 80s, and oddly enough, it wasn't a dancing part.
No, that's right. He did some straight dramatic roles toward the end of his life.
Yeah, I don't think he could do much else.
That's right. I guess that's true. Okay. I never thought of that. That was why. Hey, look at honey. He's not even dancing. He shows because he wants to show you what a great actor he is. No, he wants to show you his dancing days are over and he's an old, crippled old man. Not crippled. That's a bad word. I'm sorry to say that. But anyway, what year do you think he died?
85.
1985. And what do you think, Brian?
83.
Brian says 1983. Okay, the actual year was 1980, 7, which is what you said originally, Tony.
Oh, God. Oh,
easy, that's why easy. I asked you if you were sure, but no.
Oh, jeez.
And that means that, oh, you just missed because Mike said 1986.
I know.
Oh, boy, you're really going through. Oh, will you stop with that thing? Okay.
Oh,
and nobody said 1988. Right, well, yeah, wait a minute. Jack said 1988, so he wins,
no,
too.
I said 85.
Oh, you did. That's right. I make my fives like eights. Yeah, it looks like an eight. I'm glad I'm not the scorekeeper on Jeopardy or something where it really counts.
No wonder you're always paying taxes at the end of the year.
I know it. That's right.
That's your problem.
But I know the feeling. I make my sevens like sixes.
It says so right here. It says Jack Hart makes his sevens like sixes. Okay, here's some events now that happened on this day, May 10th, through the years. Okay, so this is kind of, this is a great, this is May 10th, yes. Yes, it is May 10th, isn't it? Yes, it is May 10th. This is Tuesday,
yeah, it is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. On May 10th, a golden spike was driven at Promontory, Utah, marking the completion of the first transcontinental railroad in the United States. You remember the guy who was the director of this, the big engineer, leaned over to the spike, looked at it, and said, "Hello, operator." He didn't know. He thought he had invented something else, too. But anyway, what was the year that that golden spike was driven in at Promontory, Utah, and his orchestra?
Now, are they building
I'm sorry. I haven't asked anybody specifically.
Now, they build over from California to Utah, and then we took it from, like, the East Coast all the way to Utah?
Yes, that's right.
Were we extra slow on the California side? What the hell? We built three-quarters of the way across the country?
Well, no, we had a lot of railroads in the eastern part of the country up to that point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm saying these things. I have no idea whether what I'm saying is true.
But it did go all the way to the West Coast, or did we think the continent ended in Utah?
I think it missed at one point. They were building, and they crossed each other by accident.
Ended up in Arizona.
No, that was the tunnel. That was that tunnel they just built now.
None of you know any more than I do, obviously. You're faking it. Although you said, is that you, Rob, who said that? No, that wasn't Rob. That was Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start with you then. What year do you think that was the golden spike went there?
I'll say 1862.
1862. Okay. And Mike, what do you think?
I think it was... I think they could have picked a hell of a lot nicer place than Promontory, Utah, whatever the heck it's called, to pick a place to drive a golden stick. Can I just say that to you for the sake
of... Oh, that's perfectly okay. I'm not with the Board of Trade of Promontory, Utah. If I were, I'd probably resent it. And I'd say something smart like, well, where did you want it? Like Ashtabula, Ohio? What would you think was more colorful?
Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, maybe?
Fond du Lac? Fond du Lac would have been good. Methuen, Massachusetts.
Methuen.
The Trans-Merrimack Valley Railroad.
Yeah, that's right. Just near Essex Street in Lawrence would be good. I don't know what you said, but it sounded really good. Okay.
I think we're on the wrong train of thought here.
Okay, I'm gonna
track
say
of these jokes.
I'm really railing from that one.
me too, and even Mike is all steamed up.
I guess you could say if you're crazy enough to play this game, we all have kind of a locomotive.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful. That's so wonderful.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
1855 was the year that they drove their spike, wherever they were.
In Promontory, Utah.
In
the golden
or Utah, wherever they happened to be.
1855. And probably, if you could look at the spike, it probably has the date right there on top.
If they could drive the spike back then, why do they need a railroad?
Don't encourage this kind of thing, okay? Please. Bob and... New Brighton. Where do you think they? We know where they drove the spike. What year was that? It was May 10th. What year?
My last engine guesses
1869.
Your guess is 1869. Okay. And what is your gift, Jess? What do you say?
Try that again.
What is your guess, Jeff?
Jeff from Alston, yes.
Jeff from Alston, yes.
How about 1860?
1860. And let's see. Rob, what do you think?
I'm going to try 1868.
1868. Okay. And Jack Hart? It's in the 18s. I marked down the 18 anyway, so it'll be all ready for whatever you fill it out with. 1858. Okay. And Tony?
1868.
Okay, the year was 18. You were very close. 1869. And Bob from New Brighton, Pennsylvania, he said 1869.
He did?
Yes, he did.
I thought I won that one.
No, you were close. You and you and Rob both said 1868. You were very close. Very close, but no cigar.
Missed the train on that one, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Missed the train on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the first Mother's Day observance? Let me just see this.
We did this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, but that was something else, I think, wasn't it? No, was it not? Maybe we did do that. The first Mother's Day.
Oh, no, we did it when they passed the law or something.
That's right. That was, this is the actual observance, first Mother's Day observance that took place during church services in Grafton, West Virginia, and also in Philadelphia. I remember mentioning just Philadelphia last time, and a guy from West Virginia, did I say West Virginia?
I was one of them.
Yeah, West Virginia. Called and said, do you know the first Mother's Day was in West Virginia? And somehow that seemed wrong to me, but it really did take place there. But what was the year? It was May 10th was the first Mother's Day. But what year was that? Jack, what do you think?
1903,
says Jack. And Mike?
Yeah. Figure it can't be too long, but it's not that recent either. So 1965 is definitely out.
Mothers have been around for a long time.
True. Very good point. All right. We're going to say... Now, is this also the first year that Hallmark had their cards to commemorate the event?
It could be.
Well, this is important.
No, I don't know about that, but... If that'll help you, I'll say yes, because I don't know.
All right, I'm going to say 1919.
What
the heck?
1919. Okay, Tony?
The year before they drove the railroad spike. I'll stick with my 1868.
That's right, and Abraham Lincoln, just after he was assassinated, declared it Mother's Day.
You know, it was actually started by a woman who never ended up having children.
Yes, I think we mentioned that the other day when we were doing another date.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, hold on here.
She
didn't
have a mother of her own, did she?
That's right. She sprung up from the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, she was hatched. Now, wait a minute. Now, are you talking about they observed it after... The law was passed, Norm, or before?
Yeah, no, well, no. The day we were talking about the other day, let's see, I wish I had seen that.
Was when they passed it to make it official.
Yes.
Quote, unquote, right? Yeah, official, yeah.
That's right. That was the legislation was filed or something. Oh, here it is. I have it here. I said a number of U.S. congressmen, this is the other date that we talked about, a number of U.S. congressmen introduced a proposed National Mother's Day holiday for the second Sunday in May, and there was not a single no vote. Anna Jarvis spent many years campaigning for this holiday and was pleased until it became too commercialized. She became a recluse, wishing she'd never started the campaign.
I love that. And jumped off a cliff and ended it all on a Mother's Day in 1972.
And she splatted all over the place, and that was presented to her mother.
I'm changing my answer to 1899.
Okay, because that year, did I just tell you the year? I didn't tell you.
No, you didn't.
That she proposed, well, I can tell you the year. And let me see. Now, Okay, what year are you saying now, Tony?
1899.
Okay. And Brian?
1923.
And Bob?
1897.
Bob says 1897. What do you?
1887.
I'm sorry?
1887.
Oh, 1887. Okay, and Rob?
I'm going to say 1930.
1930, and Jeff?
I was going to say 1930 also.
Okay, you can. That's okay. Okay if you want to stick with that, do you?
Sure, why not?
Okay, the actual year was 1908. There's some kind of a discrepancy here. It says here the first Mother's Day observance took place during church services, as I mentioned, in Grafton, West Virginia, and Philadelphia, May 10th, 1908. And yet, the other date about a member of congressman introduced a proposed National Mother's Day holiday for the second Sunday in May, and that was 1914.
Yeah.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Why should that be after the actual Mother's Day was celebrated, 1914?
No, because that's what you said. It was observed then, but that's what my question was to you. I think then they made it official 6 years later.
You know something? You're wise beyond your years, kid.
See? They wouldn't have made it official and said, sorry, you can only celebrate it in a little church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Okay. Let's see, 1908. Who would that be? Who would be closest? Jack. Jack's at 1903.
Holy smokes.
Very good.
Okay, Jack has got two correct answers.
Three correct answers. No.
The third one, I misread my five.
Oh, that's right, of course.
And, okay, and Bob has one, and Tony has one, and Mike has one.
Hmm.
As we go to J. Edgar Hoover, the guy who in later years surprised us all when we saw him in an A-line skirt.
And his red pumps. Yeah.
That's right. And let's see. Hold on a minute. Let me get all the information here. J. Edgar Hoover. It was on this date, May 10th, that he was given the job as director of the FBI. And and he put out a new little fresh blouse in honor of the occasion. This is really awful. I'm sorry. J. Edgar Hoover, let's start with you, Jeff. How old you? What year do you think he took over as director of the FBI?
Well, he's been there forever. How about 1937?
1937. Okay, that's all I have. I can't give you any more clues. Given the job as FBI director, I assume the FBI existed before that, but it's...
He was not their first director.
No, I guess he wasn't, but it's kind of hard to think of the FBI with somebody else, and, you know, at that point, being the director.
But he was the one who really brought them to prominence, wasn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Wasn't he the director for the longest span of time?
Ness, with Elliot Ness,
he was up until, 1972 or something.
Yeah.
And they had programs on radio called the FBI, Peace and War. And, and they call them G-men. G-men were the FBI investigators at the time, short for government men. I know all that stuff because I happen to be a student of American stuff.
And you used to listen to Gangbusters.
That's right. Well, Gangbusters was different. That was Alcatraz or some, maybe not Alcatraz, but some big prison colony.
Alcatraz, it lived down the street from me.
Moving right along, and
I was younger.
No, as a matter of fact, Gangbusters. Do you know who the one of the advisors on that program, consultants, was? H. Norman Schwarzkopf, the father of the general, who was a big deal in the New Jersey State Police at the time.
Well, he actually worked on the Lindbergh case.
That's right, he did. Yeah, that's absolutely right. You're okay. You ought to give the talk. I'm quoting my own talk on old-time radio. Anyway, Rob, what year did you think that J. Edgar Hoover took over?
1933.
Okay, Bob?
1938.
And Brian?
1932.
Tony?
1929.
Mike?
32.
Okay, and Jack?
27.
1927. The year was 1924. Who came the closest?
That one,
I think Jack got that one. He's 3 years off. Anybody say Nobody said anything earlier than 24.
Hmm.
So Jack, oh, Jack,
yeah.
That's three, you know, for you.
Well, there you go.
Okay, that's very good. No, nobody can win now except you.
Hmm. I guess that means we're done. Or close to it.
Well, I'll give you one more. Winston Churchill taking over in England. Let me get the exact wording. That was Neville Chamberlain. British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain resigned. And Winston Churchill formed a new government. And let's see if I have anything more on that. I guess that's about the size of it. Neville Chamberlain used to go around with an umbrella. And he said, he talked about having talked with Adolf Hitler, and Adolf Hitler wasn't going to invade any more countries, he said. So he said, we should have peace in our time. And he was proved to be very, very wrong. But anyway, that's, what year was that Winston Churchill took over? Brian, let's start with you.
How about 1932 again?
1932. Okay, Rob, what do you think?
Ooh, let's see, the Munich Pact, 1937.
1937. Okay. And did any of you see the series they had on World War II with the characters who played Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt? And
it was just on.
Yeah, it was just on about 2 weeks ago. I'm really fascinated by that period of history, but I thought the series was really boring. I couldn't imagine how they could make that series boring, you know, but it really was. I thought it was.
Well, if it was made for television, they can drag just about anything down.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just a whole lot of...
Was that on PBS or was that on one of the commercial networks?
I think it was NBC.
Well, there you go.
Oh, there you go. What? What does that mean, there you go?
I don't know.
I see. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to think of some quote from Winston Churchill. I don't sound like him, so let's forget it. Mike, what do you think? What year was that Winston Churchill took over from Neville Chamberlain and formed a new government?
I think that was 1935.
1935. Okay, and Bob?
Well, you know, I'm going to say 1939.
Okay.
Was that Chamberlain? Chamberlain?
No, that was an exact imitation of Winston Churchill's mother, or his wife, or something. Anyway, Jeff, what year do you think that was?
1938.
Okay, and Tony?
38.
Tony says 38, and Jack says?
37.
Jack says 1937. Actually, it was 1940. You're all very close. I think Bob said 1939. That's right, he did. He said 1939. That's right. He said 19. You know, it was 1939. Well, if that's not an imitation of Neville Chamberlain, I don't know what is.
What, Jack Benny?
Oh, Jack Benny? Oh, please. Okay. Anyway, the Jack Hart is the winner. Jack has got three correct answers.
Well, there we go.
But a lot of the rest of you did quite well, too. Mike and Tony. What's that, please?
At least he's not depressed anymore.
No, he has no reason to be.
Yeah, are you depressed? Still depressed, do you think?
Oh, I am, as I said, I would be jubilant.
I see. Yeah, it doesn't really sound jubilant at all, but what the heck.
I'm convinced.
Yeah. Bob came in second with two correct answers, and Tony and Mike had one apiece. And you all did very well, except the others who didn't get anything. You didn't do well at all. Let's be honest about this, Brian, Jeff, and Rob. We know who you are. Anyway, thank you all for playing. That was kind of fun. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you, Norm.
He's in Alston. He's the big bucks guy.
That's right.
Can't afford to live in Alston. Probably in a chalet right on the majestic, fast-flowing... I think he just hung up on me.
Do you blame him, though?
I don't blame him.
He's a monster. He can get away with this kind of stuff.
That's right, too, yeah. Rob?
Yes?
Oh, I thought it was Rob who hung up.
No, I'm still here. Ready to take a certain amount of abuse for
him. No, you're not going to take any abuse. I just want to thank you very much for taking part in this.
Hey,
it was fun having you.
Good
take care. And you too. That goes for you too, Bob, out there in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you. Okay, and you too, Brian. Good luck in the rest of the school year. When does it end for you?
I'm done Friday, heading back up north. Back up to Peabody.
Oh, back up to Peabody. That's right. He's got the big bucks, too. Anybody can afford to live in Alston as Jeff does. And Peabody as Brian does. They got the big bucks.
I'll move to Middleton, huh?
Well, if you want to go across the railroad tracks. Okay. Anyway, thanks a lot for the call, Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And, Jack?
Yes?
We'd like to hear evidence of your new happiness. let me get rid of you right now. That was really sickening. And thank you very much. Mike, you don't have to write down any winners' names because the winner is Jack, and he's employed by us, so we don't give him anything. Although maybe I'll give him a key ring.
Maybe that'll cheer him.
Yeah, Tony, can I hear your key ring? Here's my key ring. Is this great radio, or is this really schmucky stuff?
38 states here in double peepers.
Yeah. Somebody just put up an antenna outside their roof just so he can pick us up better. Like in Illinois. And this is what we're feeding them. Hey, Tony, thanks a whole lot. Oh, you hung up on me, too. It's lucky I have very thick skin.
Yes.
And the reason, as you know, Mike, that I have thick skin is because it's coated with pimples and acne.
I wasn't going to say anything.
No, I know it. Hey, thank you very much.
Had a ball, as always.
Okay, thank you.
Another episode out of the vault and into the books. I'd like to thank Fred for keeping me caffeinated, and another former caller known as Raj from MIT for joining Patreon. Hearing from former fans and listeners is the absolute best. See you all next week. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. For Peeper Keyrings, Ed Boland, Dueling Peeper Keyrings, Norm's Bog, Light Traffic, Nothing Wrong With That, Breaking Out of a Slump with Jubilance, Finest Supermarkets, The Hook and Claw Devices, Impressing the Ladies, Chelsea High School, Practicing Your Moves, H.O. Oates, The Whispering Paul McCartney, Hubba Hubba, Chick Scams, Digging Some Sounds, Quaint Shops with Thatched Roofs, The Majestic Charles River, Gracious Coughing, Making Your Sevens Like Sixes, The Golden Spike, Promontory, Utah, Railroad Puns, Dueling Peeper Keyrings, The Reprise, The Late Lamented Nancy Sales Company of Chelsea, Mass, Anna Jarvis, Al Catraz, Mike Epstein, Jack Hart, and the man who played the Zumbamba and made it echo through the soft tropical nights of Alston, Mass. Norm Nathan, I'm Tony Nesbitt.
If they could drive the spike back then, why do they need a railroad?
Oh. No, don't encourage this kind of thing, okay? Please.